I'm Dexter Edwards. I call this meeting to order November 15th, 2021. And I asked Commissioner Dow if he'll do an invocation and then lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody rise, please.
Everybody with bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us with another beautiful day. Thank you for giving us safe travels here today and give us safe travels as we proceed home. I pray that the citizens of Duplin County, especially the young and elderly and our guests, are blessed with good health. I pray that the hearts of all have love and understanding. Now, Lord, as we conduct the business of the county on this day, please lead us, guide us, and direct us with wisdom to conduct the business of this county. I say this in your name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any commissioners have anything to add to the agenda tonight?
I do not.
Clerk?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if it pleases the board, I would like to add Ms. Angel Venezia, your Director of Public Transportation, to make a request regarding the salaries of a transportation specialist. Also, your EMS Director, Mr. McMahon, is on a call at the Cotton Gin on a 1004 Summers Crossroads. I may be presenting for him tonight if he doesn't make it back in time.
Where do you want to add her at?
Well, add Ms. Venezia at the end of your agenda after Mr. McMahon, Mr. Chairman.
Do I have a motion?
So move.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the agenda with the add-on. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Okay, I hope everybody had a chance to review the minutes from the last meeting. And I entertain a motion.
So move.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Okay, I entertain a motion for the consent agenda.
So move.
I got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carry. All right, that moves us into item number one on our agenda, which is public comment. Anybody sign up?
Mr. Chairman, no one has signed up for public comments this evening.
Okay, thank you. That moves us into number two. The number two on the agenda is Mr. Robert O. Moore. If you would come forth, please.
Good evening.
Hello. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. This evening, I want to announce the translation services. This evening will be provided by Tildy Language Justice Cooperative. My name is Robert Osborne Moore, and I'm the current president of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP. Of Duplin County, branch number 5385. The primary objective of the NAACP is to seek the enactment and enforcement of federal, state, and local laws securing civil rights. Therefore, it goes without saying that the NAACP would be intimately concerned with the redistricting process. I take this opportunity to thank the Duplin County Board of Commissioners, the Duplin County School Board, and Representative Jimmy Dixon for getting the ball rolling on this process and for meeting us at the table, and for their inclusion and interest in equitably serving the citizens of Duplin County. I also want to thank Attorney Tim Wilson and his team. Especially, I want to thank Attorney Allison Riggs with the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, which we call the SCSJ, for their representation and contributions in helping us reach a fair agreement and I want to thank County Manager Mr. Davis Brinson and his staff for their role in organizing this public meeting. The purpose of this public meeting is to educate the public about redistricting process, why and when it is necessary, some of the obstacles involved, and how the census plays a part in redistricting, important considerations and guidelines that must be followed, and other considerations and concerns of all the parties involved. Redistricting involves more than just a group of numbers, as those numbers represent people. As you may or may not know, Duplin County has 5 electoral districts that coincide with the county commissioners and the Board of Education. I'm going to stop here before I get above my head and turn it over to Attorney Allison Riggs, that she can better explain the process, what our goals were going in, the success in the collaboration endeavors. But again, county commissioners, and if Mr. Dixon was here, I want to thank you for meeting us at the table in this monumental occasion, because we came together for the good of the citizens of Duplin County. So I thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, sirs. My name is Allison Riggs. I am Chief Counsel for Voting Rights at the Southern Coalition for Social Justice. And it's my delight to be with you tonight. As Mr. Moore mentioned, I want to go over a few things about the proposed map that you're considering tonight and how we got here, and really appreciate the willingness of the board and Mr. Wilson and Mr. Brinson to make this a publicly broadcasted event so that the voters and citizens of Duplin County can learn about redistricting and feel heard and included in this process. I think that will move us a long way to where we all want to be, which is working collaboratively for the best interest of folks in the county. Last redistricting cycle, there was litigation involving the district lines for the county commission and the school board. And I think that process ended up being more contentious than any one of us really would have liked. The NAACP, the council for the commissioners, Mr. Brinson, the council for the school board, and Mr. Dixon approached the process very differently this cycle. And I want to share with those present here and those watching on Facebook how we received so well those overtures in this process and why we think where we landed made a lot of sense for voters in Duplin County. Next slide. So first I want to explain to folks watching and folks in the room where we started and why. We received census data for Duplin County in August, and it showed a significant population loss. And I know each of us thinks that those numbers may not be entirely correct, and that's a battle we'll fight another day. But regardless, it showed some population changes that required us to adjust the district lines in Duplin County. For example, District 3 was very overpopulated. So that district was going to need to lose some population to come back into what's called acceptable deviations, which is usually plus or minus 5% of what the ideal population is. So you can see from above, when you have these handouts, this is the first slide. We have this map marked with the deviations. And if you go to the next slide, these are some stats that you also have in front of you. The overall population deviation, when you plugged in the 2020 census number, showed that the overall deviations were 16.8%. So normally when you want plus or minus 5, you need that number to be 10 or below. So we had some line drawing that we needed to do. I also want to point out that in the previous districts, pursuant to a federal court's approval, we had 2 districts that created the opportunity for Black voters to elect their candidates of choice. The need for those districts originated out of a 1988 lawsuit, NAACP versus Duplin County. Since that lawsuit, this county has been under that federal court order. And so it's always been a consideration that the county commission and the school board had to comply with the the continuing judgment of the court in that case. So you see under the old map, the what's called 2010 census current districts, you had two districts that were in the mid 40% of Black voting age population, districts 4 and 5. It's sort of top chart towards the right. District 4 had 46.33% and District 5 had 44. There was some population loss in those districts, and they got down to about 42, but they did need to gain some population. So I want to show you the next slide, which is the map that we have collaboratively come up with to adjust for these population changes and to respect traditional redistricting criteria and to continue complying with the federal court order in the NAACP versus Duplin case. So let me explain some things about this map for you. And I'm actually, if you go to the next slide, I think this will help. This map, proposed map, pairs no incumbents. Now, folks may have feelings about whether incumbency protection should or shouldn't be a redistricting criteria, but we accepted that it was one, and it's one that is used. So this pairs no school board incumbents or no county commission incumbents. One of the challenges in map drawing, though, sometimes is protecting incumbents. And so there was one incumbent there, if you see in District 3, kind of on the border of District 2, that in order for District 3 to lose the population it needed to lose, but keep that incumbent in the district, we had to reach around him. So that is, if there are questions about the shape of the district, I want to explain to you that why that is so. It is so because this was a way to pair no incumbents. But there's lots of traditional redistricting criteria. Pairing incumbents or not is only one of them. And I'm also going to show you a neat tool at the end that'll help you learn more about these maps and what they cover. But in the next slide, this is the chart that explains the statistics about this proposed map that some members of the county commission, some members of the school board, the NAACP, and Representative Dixon worked on and came up with. You'll notice that the deviations, the percent deviation is quite low now. So it's 4%. It goes from plus 2.38 to minus 1.63. That's pretty good from going from 18 and change down to 4. It also, in districts 4 and 5, maintains the Black voting age population at about 42.5%, give or take, in each of those districts, and will continue to allow Black voters to represent their candidates of choice in those two districts. And again, you have this information if you have further questions. But here are the arguments that I think that why this map best serves the voters of Duplin County. One, this represents the product of a collaborative process between various and diverse stakeholders who came together in good faith to work on a map that would serve the interests of all. And we're grateful to Mr. Wilson, Mr. Brinson, to the commissioners who joined us, to the school board members who joined us, and everyone, including Representative Dixon and Ms. Erica Churchill at the North Carolina Legislature, who helped make this possible. This map dramatically reduces deviations, as I mentioned, down to 4% overall. It keeps the municipality of Bowdoin's in District 5, where it's historically been. Compared to the current map, it reduces split precincts. There were 9 split precincts in the previous map and 8 in this one. And I know that might sound a little crazy, but let me explain. In rural counties, precincts and census blocks can be quite big. And one of the reasons that some of these districts are shaped the way they are is because the census blocks are shaped the way they are. And you can't cut a census block. So that in turn explains some of the shape of the district. But this map has fewer split precincts than the previous one, and it keeps the exact same number of municipality splits as the previous map, which was endorsed by the federal court. This map protects the ability of Black voters to continue electing their candidate of choice in districts 4 and 5 and creates no significant political changes in the way in which this board will conduct its business, how voters will participate. It is it's an effort to support collaboration and make sure that people feel heard. It also complies with all other federal and state law. So this is how we arrived at this map. I hope this has been something that has felt helpful and informative about the background and how we got here today. There's one other tool we'd like to show you in just the last minute or two, and if my colleague Gino can take over the computer. There's a really neat online tool called Dave's Redistricting App, and we loaded this map on Dave's Redistricting App. This is a link that I believe the county is going to put on its website and its Facebook page, so anyone in this room, anyone watching on Facebook, can go to this link and explore this map. This is what it looks like. Give it a second to load up. What you see here are the different colors are just the different districts. We've marked each where each incumbent lives, and if it says BOC or BOE, that lets you know if they're a Board of Education, a Board of County Commissioners incumbent. And can you zoom in on Bowden's? Do you know where that is, Gina?
Right there by Mr. Morris.
Oh, my bad.
Just actually zoom in anywhere by an incumbent.
Okay.
See, you hit plus. And so here, Mr. Brent Davis, you can see, follow the street lines. You'll see Southeast Center Street there. And so if you hit plus, you zoom in. If you hit minus, you zoom out. Can you zoom back out, Gina?
Yep.
And you can see where your house falls in between district lines. You can find out where your representative is. We hope that this is a tool for accessibility and for learning about the districts that will be helpful to you. We do redistricting once a decade, but yes, sir?
Sorry, can you point out over to the right it has those total population?
Yes, absolutely. So what's really neat about this tool, and it's free for anyone, towards the right, there's a column that's got some details. Right now, my colleague Gino is hovering his cursor over a precinct, and it tells you what the total population is of the precinct, what the voting age population is of the precinct, and a composite partisan score that Dave's Redistricting App creates to sort of tell you like how Democratic or Republican a precinct is based on several election scores. But it's a really neat tool, we think, for folks understanding redistricting, and hopefully is something that can help folks better understand who represents them, what neighborhoods and communities that they're in a district with, and help promote civic engagement generally. And with that, we really, again, appreciate the collaborative spirit with which this process has been engaged. I've been doing this work for almost 15 years in states across the South, and I would describe this as an exemplary process, and I'm grateful for your respect and consideration throughout it. Thank you.
One more thing. Can you explain that this is Duplin County, not the state, not the federal?
Yes. So there's a lot of drama around redistricting generally. This is just about redistricting for the districts that elect the fine gentleman at the dais here and those who serve on the school board. So we're not talking about state level redistricting. We're not talking about Congress, state legislature. This is just about the leaders who make decisions for your community right here in Duplin County. And the, you know, NAACP has really tried to make this inclusive as possible, trying to make sure that people could see and learn and learn about the good actions, and that the growing Latino population in this county can also feel included in this process through the translation services. And I hope that helps. If folks have questions at a later point, we'd be happy to provide further information. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, Commissioners.
Good evening. Good evening. Good
evening. I've come before you tonight to ask for a public hearing to receive comment on the map that was just produced and discussed by Ms. Riggs. But before I do, I wanted to add a couple of comments and kind of our side of the story, our side of the table, the version from our side of the table. First, I would similarly like to thank Mr. Dixon, Representative Jimmy Dixon, for kind of getting us started in this. He came, I don't have the date in front of me, but I think it was our first October meeting. Does that sound right? He came and brought maps that, or a map that he and Erica Churchill had drawn up. And it didn't differ from, if you look at all three maps, the current map, the map proposed by Mr. Dixon, and the map proposed by the NAACP, there's not a whole lot of difference when you look at it from a distance. But there's some fine points and intricacies involved, and that's what we had to work through. Mr. Dixon's data that was produced at the legislature did not include any racial, demographic, or political data. It was simply on the population numbers. So as Allison pointed out, that was the starting point here. That's what required us to do this, because we had substantial population deviations of more than the 5% either way. That led Mr. Dixon to do what he did at the legislature. He came in, produced the map, which we then forwarded to Allison and Mr. Moore and their team. And at that point, you know, they have access to that data. And so they wanted to do a deeper dive and kind of analyze it. And so at that point, as Mr. Dixon had represented that night, you know, his map, he was not trying to shove it down anybody's throat. He was saying this is a starting point for the discussion. And that's exactly how it worked out. And we went to Raleigh. Mr. Dixon arranged for us to go to Raleigh and meet in his office with his resources. They had the software and licensing up there. And so I think he was, despite the fact that we ultimately rejected his map and went a different way, I think he was instrumental in getting us to where we are. And perhaps more importantly, he was instrumental in saving a lot of money for the county, because when we had looked at this process on the front end, as even a baseline, it was going to be probably $20,000. And that was if everything went perfectly and you didn't have to do extra maps. Could have been even more expensive than that. So that was a big cost savings for the county, and one that I think should be recognized. From there, the next person or next people I want to thank is Ms. Riggs and Mr. Moore. They operated with the utmost professionalism and integrity throughout this whole process. They were easy to deal with, easy to get along with, and it truly was as enjoyable as this process could be. I think we got there. Once we got into the maps and they looked at the data over here, where you got, you know, the racial data and the political data that Mr. Dixon's team did not factor in, you know, they have a few concerns, like Allison pointed out. We went to Raleigh, they drew up the map, and you know that it was intended to make sure they were in compliance with the federal order. And then we had the issue in District 3 with Mr. Jones that we worked through as a team up there. Mr. Dow and Mr. Branch went with us up there, and Mr. Davis from the school board. We had a party in Mr. Dixon's office, and we worked through all of it, and we're able to ultimately reconfigure it in a way that was satisfactory and, most important, like Allison pointed out, legal. I mean, and legal is a hard thing, because it's four or five different things that you have to navigate here between the population, the court order, the statute, the state and federal laws, a lot of different things that you've got to navigate, and we were able to do that. Final thing, thank you that I wanted to express is to our board. I thought they handled it with professional and open-mindedness, more so than I ever could have even dreamed or asked for. As you guys can all see, we got a diverse board. They don't all look the same. They don't all come from the same backgrounds. Don't all think the same or agree upon everything. But in this case, and well, in all cases, what you do have, you got five intelligent guys who, at the end of the day, they've all got the same common goal of good for Duplin County, and they can kind of put aside some of the divisive and controversial things that you see on the news when it comes to this topic. I think these guys did a good job of setting all that to the side and handling it with respect and dignity as they treated each other and approached each other, and also as they approached the other side and Mr. Brinson and me as well. So we enjoyed the process. I was proud to go with Mr. Dow and Mr. Branch to Raleigh and go through it, and I was proud to represent these five guys throughout this process. And I think I speak for Adam Mitchell at the school board and saying the same thing for them. They handled it the same way, and we appreciated Mr. Davis going to Raleigh with us and working through it. And it truly was a nonpartisan, collaborative effort by everybody in the room, and we were pleased with that. So with all that said, I would like at this point, Mr. Edwards, to ask that we open the floor for public comment, open a public hearing.
Okay, if I may, before I open the public hearing, I want to echo everything that Mr. Wilson just said. It took a lot of work with a lot of people to bring us to the night's meeting as quick and fast as we did. So I'm going to thank y'all first, because I think y'all led the march in laying it out. But I want to thank the school board, and I want to thank my fellow commissioners here for the work that they had and the process of going forward with it. I think most of us don't like a lot of change. So for everybody that is having to move districts, there's probably questions and comments. And with that said, I'm now going to open up for a public hearing, and we'd be glad to allow you to speak and hear your comments. So I'm opening up the public hearing now.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to, Ms. Tomasino, if I may, if the members of the public who want to speak will come to the podium so that the recording device will pick up their comments.
Okay, so if you will please come forward to make your public comments. When you come forward, if you don't mind, state your name so that it'll be on the record.
My name is Thomas Santa Williams.
Good evening.
Of Kenansville. Good evening to each and every one of you.
Good evening.
I had several comments to make, but after hearing the presentation and the collaborativeness, I guess that's such a word, of the Board of Commissioners and the Board of Education and several others, as well as Representative Dixon, I'm somewhat pleased. I would like to make this particular statement. On November 7, 2021, ABC's this week's Powerhouse Roundtable, Donna Brazile made a comment, and if you, some of you know her, she's an ABC News contributor. And when she made this comment, I was somewhat upset because of past information that I've heard about the redistricting, as well as some of the maps. But she said, "I haven't done a full autopsy. I'm just afraid to go into the funeral home right now." And I thought about that. And then again, reiterating what I said earlier, when the presentation was made, I was somewhat pleased because of the unity. And as someone said, he said it's a bipartisan situation, so that really made me feel somewhat pleased about what's going on. My only concern is this is a proposed map, and I don't know when the permanent, if I can say permanent, but when the actual map is drawn, how soon we will get it, and if the board or the General Assembly or whatever, or whoever, is actually going to let us know if it is the same as what has been proposed. I looked up the 2020 census on redistricting data. I looked up the Senate Bill 722, which the governing body of our county has complied to, and so I'm pretty satisfied with that. And then with the majority and minority districts that you actually explained, I'm pretty much satisfied with that right now until the proposed map has actually been finalized. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Next. Anyone else in the audience in here would like to come forth, please? Mr. McMahon, will you look and see if there's anybody outside that would like to come in and speak? Okay. Before I close, give you a chance. We would like to hear from every one of you. Positive comments are all welcome. Well, with that little bit of chuckle, I'm going to consider that a positive comment, and I'm going to move to close the public hearing. Now, I ask Mr. Wilson to come forth, please.
Mr. Edwards, to answer this young lady's question, I'm now appear before you for the board to consider adopting a resolution which would adopt these maps as our permanent map going forward, at least until the 2030 census comes around.
Mr. Wilson, if I may,
yes,
before
sir.
You start with a resolution, I would like to see if any of the commissioners have any comments or questions with this map.
I do. And I guess I'll pose this to Tim as well as Mrs. Riggs. I'm pleased with the data you've presented. It looks great. I think you guys did a great job. I'm just curious, and I live in the green section district. What am I?
District three.
And the numbers look great, but then when you took out like the backwards looking Italy part, you know, there on the pink, you know, would you have, you had mentioned that incumbents are protected or whatever, would you have done that if Mr. Jones, who lives in that corner, didn't live there?
Say, well, I'll answer and then I'll let you go. But yeah, Mr. Thompson, the original map that Ms. Riggs had proposed did not have that chinkapin,
right,
the little boot included. Instead, it cut off the corner. It was a much
cleaner
straighter
record.
Line,
yeah.
Cleaner look, and it went into the area where Mr. Jones is.
Okay, so David would have been cut out.
That's right.
Yeah. And
he was drawn
if
over.
He decided to run. I don't know if he's running again or not, but I mean, that's, I know he's up soon.
And it was even more complicated than that because it was actually three precincts. It was his and then two more to the east of his. So, and I'll let Ms. Riggs speak to us. She can speak much more eloquently.
Mr. Davis luckily had a copy of the previous version that we had, which
sure.
was more compact.
Yeah.
Did all the things that we needed to do. But the problem is Mr. Jones lives in this long, skinny census block that you can't cut in half. Census blocks are the smallest geography. So we, and you know, we do the best to get the addresses of the incumbents so that we never, you know, are trying to mess with an incumbent, but we didn't have the right address for Mr. Jones. When we were sitting in the room in Raleigh, Representative Dixon called Mr. Jones and said it was imperative that Mr. Jones not, I don't know, that what, correct me what word he used, but he said we needed to make sure that Mr. Jones was in District 3.
Okay.
So, you know, because of the weird shapes of the census blocks, we could have done the district a little bit by the eyeball test,
sure.
more compact, but I still feel good about this as someone who's drawn a lot of maps because it splits one fewer precinct, and it keeps the same level of municipal splits. So there's another way to do it, but this way makes it so that Board of Education member Mr. Jones can't run in District 3 anymore under our initial version. So we worked with Representative Dixon and all the folks in the room to try and accommodate for that.
Okay.
And the map, under the statutes, Mr. Thompson, the maps, they do have to be contiguous. And so that was where you ran into the issue with the two, and I'm sorry, I was at precincts, but
census blocks
to the east of the one that, that he was in.
And I see what you're saying. So those lines, are those the census blocks?
Those are actually precincts. The census blocks are even smaller, but it was one of the weirdest shaped census blocks I've seen. It kind of just required a funny shape to put it in District 3, given that District 3 needed to lose population and geography.
All right.
And to commit, you had to take in three more census blocks as well. It was a census block by itself, but you had to get it to connect to the rest of District 3. You had to take the three that were beside it to get it in there.
Well, when you put it together, that was the shape it came out with.
And then we tried to keep the changes in that area. I mean, what you're looking at down at the south is essentially what the current map looks like.
Right.
So there was minimal change down there. That's, you know, looks the same largely across all the maps. But
right.
The weird shaped census blocks and the bridge we had to build to keep Mr. Jones in explains the shape.
Okay.
And I read the 153A-22 to require that we had kept Mr. Jones in. And I don't know, she may or may not disagree with that, but my impression of the law is that you cannot draw a sitting commissioner out.
That sense, you don't agree with that?
This was a collaborative process where we didn't need to, and we were very much focused on complying with the court order. And since everyone was so willing to work with us on District 5 and District 4, my client was happy to make this. You know, I think it's a legal map. It's a relatively speaking minimal change map given the population changes. Maybe we get a census adjustment down the road and we revisit this, but that's the census data we have. So I think this does a lot of the things that everyone in the room wanted to see done.
It's really easy when you wasn't a part of it to sit back after y'all done all the hard work and for us to do a lot of questioning. But at the same token, you know, we need all clear minds. So, you know, following up right behind Ken, if I may, was there any consideration when you moved these four blocks or three, whichever you said, back in, was there any consideration in coming over here and shaping this up instead of coming down here?
We were doing on the fly what I would call an effectiveness analysis in terms of whether the district would continue to perform for black voters, which is to say we were not drawing the district on the basis of race. We were looking at partisan and racial data to ensure and confirm that we would stay in compliance with the federal order. Now, my GIS guy, even as I was prepping for the meeting today, I was like, well, I guess I probably could have like straightened this up a little bit or neatened this up. But we, you know, again, with all gratitude to Representative Dixon, we were under a little bit of crunch and we were down in Raleigh. Everyone had trekked to Raleigh and we were committed to hammering out something that we could all live with. So what I can tell you is I know that districts 4 and 5 that the NAACP could represent to a federal court, that we are confident that those districts preserve the ability of black voters to elect their candidates of choice. And with unlimited time, I probably could have made you a little bit of a prettier map, but it was, I was really proud of us hammering that out in a very long meeting in Raleigh.
Anybody else? You good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just curious.
Mr. Dapp?
Well, the process was a tedious process, and I was more concerned with the integrity of the two districts that would be affected by the NAACP and the attorney. And myself as a District 4 representative, and Mr. Branch as a District five representatives. That was the reason we went up there, was to hash out these maps, and we came up with the, like she said, it was a minimal change map, even though my district was already ugly. But it looks a little bit worse now, but it's still, the integrity is intact. So I felt we did a good job, and we collaborated with each other. And I appreciate the board for having the, for letting us go up there and having the faith in us to do the job and have this done. So that's about all I can say at this time.
And in closing, I'd just like to say I thank everyone that played an intricate role in doing what we had to do to achieve what has been achieved. As the old folks say sometimes, mission accomplished. I'm glad that our citizens are in a better light, and I really appreciate how we've come together and communicated as a team to achieve the goal. So thank you all for everything that you've done in this process.
I said a while ago I didn't have anything, but I want to commend the group that went to Raleigh, Commissioner Branch, Commissioner Dow, school board, Mr. Brent Davis. I don't know if he had anybody else with him. Mr. Moore and Ms. Riggs and Mr. Wilson. Thank you all. As we sit here on this board, what, 1st of November when we decided that we were going to Raleigh, a couple weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had utmost confidence in the two commissioners that we sent to go up there and represent this board very well, and I think they did that along with everybody else that went. So thank you for everybody working through this, and now we've got it behind us and we can move forward and work to better the county. So I appreciate it.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right, Mr. Wilson, I'll turn the floor back over to you.
Mr. Edwards, it's your decision. If it's the pleasure of the board, there is a resolution in your packet, and I'm glad to read the resolution if you would like me to read it for the record.
Please do.
Okay. The proposed resolution reads, whereas pursuant to session law 2013-320, House Bill 870, enacted by the North Carolina General Assembly, both the Duplin County Board of Commissioners and Board of Education shall each consist of 5 members elected from 5 districts as described therein. Whereas, pursuant to an order entered January the 5th, 2014, by the United States District Court for the Eastern District of North Carolina, Southern Division, in the matter of NAACP v. Duplin County, North Carolina, et al., the 5 districts set forth in Session Law 213-320, House Bill 870, were deemed to comply with the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and other applicable federal law. Whereas the 2014 federal court order requires the Board of Commissioners and Board of Education to consider changes in district lines as necessary to maintain districts which are equal in population upon receipt of 2020 census data. Whereas the ongoing COVID-19 emergency led to delays in the release of census data, which the United States Commerce Department and Census Bureau indicated were necessary to ensure public health and an accurate count. Whereas pursuant to NCGEN Stat 153A-22 and Session Law 2021-56, Senate Bill 722, the Duplin County Board of Commissioners shall review and revise its electoral districts in accordance with state and federal law on or before November 17th of 2021. Whereas based upon the 2020 census data, the Board of Commissioners finds that the Duplin County electoral districts must be redefined to address substantial inequalities of population among the districts, whereas Representative Jimmy Dixon offered the assistance and expertise of the General Assembly staff in redrawing the electoral districts, whereas the Board of Commissioners, Board of Education, Duplin County, and the Duplin County NAACP collaborated with Representative Dixon and the General Assembly staff in an effort to draw a redistricting plan that is satisfactory to all of the parties. Whereas the Board of Commissioners finds that the attached map reflecting revised electoral districts, complies with all state and federal law, including but not limited to NCGN Stat 153A-22, Session Law 2021-56, Senate Bill 722, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and all orders entered in the matter of NAACP v. Duplin County. Whereas the Board of Commissioners held a public hearing to receive comment on the proposed plan on November 15th of 2021, now, therefore, be it resolved, the Duplin County Board of Commissioners hereby approves the attached map setting forth 5 revised electoral districts. These districts shall be in effect for the March 2022 primary and will remain in effect unless otherwise lawfully modified. Be it further resolved that the county attorney is directed to send a copy of this resolution along with the block assignment files to the Duplin County Board of Elections and GIS Department as soon as possible. If required by law, the county attorney is further authorized to seek approval of this plan by the United States District Court for the Eastern District of North Carolina. Adopted this the 15th day of November 2021.
Okay, what's the pleasure of the board?
I move that the resolution be adopted this date, November the 15th, 2021, as printed.
I second that motion.
I have a motion and a second to adopt the resolution by the County of Duplin adopting revised electoral districts, thus approving the attached map and directing the county attorney to send a copy of the resolution along with the block assignment files to the Duplin County Board of Elections and the GSI Department as soon as possible, and if necessary, to seek approval of this plan by the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of North Carolina. Any comments? Hearing none, I ask for a vote and speak loud, please. All in favor, say aye.
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 Unanimous. We have a new map. Thank you.
We're not out of order, but.
Thank y'all. Okay. Ms. Shields?
Good evening.
Good evening, Ms. Shields.
Good evening.
Mr. Chairman, I'm here tonight to conduct a public hearing. The purpose of the public hearing is to consider...
Ms. Shields.
Yes.
Let me stop you just a minute.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome. You're welcome to leave if you would like to leave, but we've got business to take care of, and I can't hear multiple people talking. Okay? You got the floor back, Ms. Shields. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Good evening. Mr. Chairman, I'm here tonight to conduct a public hearing. The purpose of the public hearing is to consider an economic development incentive for Project Gray, providing a match equivalent of 5% for the grant amount. This company is expected to expand their current business and create 31 new jobs for Duplin County, and the county hereby expresses its intent to approve this conveyance.
Okay, at this time I would like to open a public hearing to hear comments towards Project Gray. Anybody in the immediate audience that would like to speak, please? Mr. McMahon, will you step and see if anybody outside? Okay, we got one. Come forward, please.
My name is Angela Maynard, and what is Project Gray? Tell us what it is. Tell us what it's about. How are we going to get the 31 jobs? Because when you come up here and you do this about a public hearing, we don't know what the public hearing is about for you to give any answers. So we need to know what you're talking about. Thank you.
Project Gray is an existing industry in Duplin County that is a grower and packer of fresh and frozen produce. And to continue to meet the demands of the frozen and fresh produce in our grocery stores, Project Gray is expanding their industries in our county. This project qualifies for a building reuse grant from North Carolina Commerce. Project Gray will create 31 new jobs and invest $2.8 million in Duplin County in their first phase. They're expected to be three phases. The building reuse grant requires the 5% equivalent match from our local resources.
Mr. Mann, is anybody outside that would like to speak?
Would we stop before citizens of the United States do the count? Or would we stop before our farm workers or the conglomerate of people that come here to work in the county?
These jobs will be open for anybody that qualifies and meets the specifications of the job requirements.
So these are farming jobs, or these factory jobs, or these administrative jobs?
There'll be
31 jobs.
There will be a mix of all. There's administrative, there is farming, and there's also industry type positions associated with this.
Where are you located?
This specific business? Yeah. This business currently is located in Faison.
So these jobs will be advertised?
Correct.
Through, I guess, the unemployment office or ULC or whatever?
They will be advertised just as any other businesses have to, have to advertise their positions. Their website. We will also work with North Carolina Public Works to fill these positions, as well as James Front Community College.
What about the pay rates?
The average salary for this is $32,000 annually. I can get an exact amount. Excuse me, is $34,709 is your average salary.
Have any kind of health care?
Yes, for any kind of grant incentives, they have to require at least 50% of health care, 50% of the cost towards health care.
Any more public comments? Hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing. Thank you, Ms. Shields.
Thank you.
That moves us right into item number 6, Ms. Pam Bang.
Thank you, Chairman Edwards. How are you tonight?
Good. Hope you are.
I'm fine. Thank you. Did we, Mr. Brinson, did we get the transportation added on as well?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm here to discuss a number of items for you tonight. The first item is what lays before you is our CST data for scanning HR records contract. This is a proposal to enter in a contract with the CST data to begin scanning our personnel records, to import them into the new Munis software. This particular part of the contract, excuse me, it's hard to talk with this thing on, I'm sorry, is for the active employee personnel records, as well as our active employee medical records. He's also looked at our records upstairs, all of our retirements, terminations records upstairs, and we will begin that, if you agree with this proposal, for the years to come in different phases, to slowly clean out our archived records. As you can see from my proposal, he has done it for a number of counties. He has been quite busy. He has a good reputation for doing this. Me and Mr. Branch talked briefly before the meeting because, of course, Mr. Branch has experience in this type of contract. It is mixed use. A lot of our paperwork is 8.5 by 11 and also 8.5 by 14. I think that's the size. So it is mixed, so he's going to take out the paper clips, staples, and everything. Scan everything in, I gotta take this off for a minute, please. He's gonna keep a copy up there as a backup, and we will also have it imported in our Munis software here. And Tim, our county attorney, has reviewed the contract, and he and Mr. Rigsby have worked out the conditions, if you agree. Oh, and Tracy in finance has graciously offered to upfront the $10,000 for me to get this done for this year. And in the following years, I will ask for it additionally in my budget to cover until we get upstairs cleaned up.
Pleasure, board.
And this just scans these files into with a scanner to a computer, and he just uploads them to Munis. He's coming here to do the work, or
he takes records back to his warehouse where he has all that equipment. Yes, sir.
What happens if he loses them?
Well, I hope not, but
well, you always hope not, but there's always a possibility that something happens.
You're right. He takes some each time and brings me back the records, or imports the records, gives me access up there. But you're right. I mean,
I understand the contract does have insurance and indemnity language mm-hmm. to hopefully protect us if anything like that were to happen.
Director Brame, if it were a case where we needed to have a setup here on site, do we have anywhere available where is it would protect any situation to prevent a possible misplacement of documents? Was that even considered in the conversation at all? Or was it just that since they have this going with other county governments, they transfer the data and do what they need to do and they bring it back? So it hasn't been any incidences to your knowledge to say that something's been lost or...
No, managed. Sir. Okay. And quite honestly, I didn't even think about it until Mr. Carter brought it up. So now he's got me a little worried, but... Thank you, Mr. Garner. Like I said, they have a good reputation. They've done this for a number of counties and cities in the state. I have talked to other HR directors. I feel confident. They also did it for our health department with their medical records. There was no issues with our own medical records at our health department, which is how I got connected with him through IT, mentioned him.
Gotcha. Well, they have a proven track record to be successful in what they do. And the pricing that's been presented was very competitive in regards to my knowledge about that type of work. So if they can control what they're doing and there's an inventory process of checking it out and checking it back in, I think that those issues should be minimal at best.
And this is going to take how long?
He said just a couple of months to go back and forth. You know, he's not going to take it all at one time. So he's going to come and take like a file cabinet, go up there and scan them, come back, bring me the files. I've got a proposal as part of this agreement, as part of an agreement with the state, you have to work through the Records and Retention Department of Cultural Resources on destroying personnel records. So I had to submit a proposal on the scanning, what I'm proposing to scan, and then after their scan and that department approves of what I've done, then they're going to give me authorization to shred those records if I want to reduce some of the paper that I'm starting to collect upstairs.
My whole problem of it is personnel records are private.
Yes, sir.
And we're giving them to somebody that doesn't even work with this county.
Yes, sir.
To look at whatever they want to look at. We're good, bad, indifferent, whatever. I can see where that can get out of hand quick.
Well, all I can say is part of the contract, if I remember correctly, Tim, part of the contract is the confidentiality of those records. And as I said, he's done it for other HR departments across the state and looked at their personnel records, the health department's medical records. He has a proven track record to go with all county and city governments on scanning these documents and doing it efficiently and cost effective, whereas a lot of counties and cities do not have the manpower or the resources to do this as quickly as he can.
And just to add to the process, those are the type of things that take place in a scanning project anyway. They have the insurance. And things can happen, but typically that's the process you want to have to follow in scanning these documents. They have to be taken from the location or is done on site. You scan the hard copy and turn it to a digital document so you can upload it to the final destination. So in and of itself, those are just the steps that most of these agencies have to take throughout the country in order to get it to where it needs to be. In a perfect world, nothing would go wrong, but they have things in place to make sure that it works. I do have one question in terms of what I read in the packet. there's one individual that's going to be the point of contact?
Mr. Rigsby, yes.
Has there been any consideration in the event that something happened to them that we have someone as a backup to provide support to make sure that the process continues to go forward?
I can certainly arrange that, yes, sir.
Okay. Any more questions? Hearing none, what's the pleasure of the board?
I move that we move forward with the contract.
A second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to approve the contract with CST Data for the scanning of personnel and medical records for the Human Resource Department and authorize the chairman to sign the same. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Carried 4-1.
Thank you. The second item on my list is the finance officer has requested that we reclassify the accountant internal auditor, which is a grade 72, to accounting specialist 2, grade 68. This would be an annual salary savings up to $14,908 or fringe. I've showed you this, the difference in salaries, an annual savings of $5,892. And then with the current employee that just recently resigned and going to the minimum of the salary, if we chose to do that, it would be a savings to the finance department of $10,965. And Tracy is available if you would like to ask her questions or me about that reclassification request.
Any questions? Do I have a motion?
So move.
Second. I got a motion and a second to approve the request to reclassify the accountant internal auditor position in the finance office at a grade 72 to an accounting specialist 2 at a grade 68. Any more comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried.
And last but not least.
I have added Ms. Venecia after Mr. McMahon. Please, with the chairman, she's already up if you want to deal with Ms. Venecia's issue first.
Is it okay with Mr. McMahon? Okay, he's okay. Let's move on with it while you've got the floor.
And our third request, and Angel is here as well to answer any questions. Our third request, Angel came by the HR office today and expressed concern of not being able to find enough drivers for the transportation department. She has worked with the Sampson County Transportation Director, where there are three part-time workers at Sampson County that are interested in possibly helping her out over here, working part-time over here to help eliminate or alleviate some of her stress, as you can see in the proposal. The only issue is Sampson County pays their transportation drivers $11.30 an hour. Our salary over here is $9.86. That's a difference of $1.44 per hour. And they're not really interested in coming over here to help us with that difference in pay. As you can see, currently she has 6 vacant part-time positions out of 13. She has 2 drivers currently out on jury duty, and she has 1 driver out on FMLA, which leaves her to, how many drivers is that in math? Give me that. 4. And she is working for part-time employees over 30 hours per week. And with the Affordable Care Act, after a certain time, I'm supposed to offer them health insurance. So if they continue to work those hours, we are going to have to offer those 4 employees benefits. So when you look at the difference in benefits and the cost of adding a $1.44 increase in their pay, she provided you this nice little spreadsheet here. The request to add the $1.44 to her current employees in those vacant positions is a total of $31,145.31. If we were to add benefits just to those 4 people, which we would hope would be only temporarily, you're looking at a total of $39,112.80 for the year. difference of around $7,967.50. So we feel like the most cost effective, of course, is to offer the $1.44 per hour to those transportation workers and the transit scheduler, because she also helps out driving. She has federal money. She has ARPA grants. She has revenue from her rides. She has, so this would not cost the county any county money. She can afford that within the money she currently has and what she is provided by the federal government.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to move to the 144. Any other comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Uh-huh. All opposed? Carried.
All right, we appreciate that as well. Does anybody else have anything else for HR?
Nope, that moves us to Mr. McMahon.
Thank you.
Waited so patiently. Please come forward.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As you all know, effective July 1st, 2021, there was a transformation in the Medicaid, the way we bill Medicaid patients. Currently, we're working with four brokers. And we had to have contracts with all these brokers. The contract you have tonight is for United Healthcare of North Carolina. I think this is the third and the final contract that we have with the brokers that we need to get signed by you guys.
Pleasure to board.
Motion to approve. Second.
I got a motion and a second to approve the contract between Duplin County Emergency Medical Services and United Healthcare UHC of North Carolina Incorporated, and authorize the chairman to sign the same. Any further comments, questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. That moves us into item number 9, Mr. Davis.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I just have a few announcements I'd like to remind you of. The annual Duplin County Employee Appreciation Luncheon will be held on December the 10th, beginning at 11:30, and it will be a drive-through event again this year. Again, that's December the 10th, beginning at 11:30. Our Service for the Aged Department will hold its annual Senior Center Christmas event at the Event Center on Wednesday, December the 15th, beginning at 11:30. Again, that's the Senior Christmas event at the Event Center on Wednesday, December the 15th at 11:30. I believe Ms. Brown from Service and Agent will be sending you a formal request, invitation, that is. Just a reminder, Thanksgiving holiday is next week. County offices will be closed on Thursday and Friday, November 25th and 26th. That will include our solid waste convenience sites on the 25th. Also, just as a reminder to the board, your next meeting will be held on December the 6th, and at that meeting, it is tradition that you will reorganize the board and elect a chairman and vice chairman, just to remind you of that. That's all I have. Thank you.
Any commissioners have anything to bring forward? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I got a motion and a second to adjourn until Monday night, December 6th at 6 o'clock p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous.
Yeah.